Core bad idea number four is the Continental Resource Sharing Pact that would further harmonize North American, our energy market, to the point where Canada would lose complete control over our oil, gas, and hydroelectricity. Now, you may wonder how much more control we can lose than we lost under NAFTA. And I'll remind you that under NAFTA, we signed a proportional sharing agreement with the United States that basically said we cannot turn down any request for oil or gas export. We have to continue to increase the exports of our production, and we can't cut it back for any reason except that we're literally running out, and then we have to cut it proportionately to ourselves. We can't cut to you first, can't place an export tax, can't charge two price system. That's why our energy prices are going through the roof. Signing Kyoto means nothing. We're not allowed to cut back on our production, and since we signed NAFTA, we have gone from exporting 25% of our natural gas production to the U.S. to over 60%, and we're well on our way to 80% within the next decade, and we can't cut that. We, in fact, have to continue to look for new supplies. And as a matter of fact, Canada now supplies more oil and gas to the United States than any other country, including Saudi Arabia. We're their number one supplier, and the demand from the U.S. is set to double in the next decade, and of course it's feeding the U.S. war machine. So this idea of somehow making this pact even more intense or more of a treaty than already exists is one of the core areas that's being looked at. And the fifth bad idea, the fifth core idea of what they are proposing was laid out in a secret memo that we got a hold of from our own Department of Foreign Affairs and International Trade. It did not come from the U.S. It's called Securing Growth Beyond the Border Access, Beyond the Border Accord. And essentially what DFAT has laid out is a call for a common market with common approaches to standards, testing, qualifications, regulation, labeling, procurement, and environmental protection. In other words, totally and completely harmonize the entire process of traveling across the border so there wouldn't be any border to bump into. There would be no different levels of safety or health or whatever kinds of standards. This shocking paper, the government official says this would free up resources that should be devoted to shared North American security interests. That's a direct quote from our government. They would promote a tested once policy, which means that any pharmaceutical or chemical or whatever that had been tested once would then be safe in both countries. So, for instance, when we led in the fight against bovine growth hormone in Canada and stopped Monsanto from getting the patent here, although they had it in the U.S., we would not have been able to do that had this been in place. And we could give each other dozens of examples of this. And they're also asking for common exemptions to the World Trade Organization under the General Agreement on Trade and Services, which is very different, dangerous when you realize that the United States is going to use that GATS agreement to pry open Canada's health, education, water, and so on. The other bad ideas that may not be so core at the beginning of this, but are out there and will be very much affected, is abandoning foreign ownership of telecommunications and media, and this decision is coming up very soon. This would signal the end of Canadian control over all our media, including newspapers and television and radio, because these telecommunications companies also own newspapers and TV chains. They're looking at a continental water market, and this is down the road. You won't find anybody as boldly putting it that way as I have, but if you read behind the scenes, it's there. Of course, continuing to pursue a U.S. global trade agenda, adopting U.S.-style healthcare, and finally adopting a continental agriculture market, which means that we would lose whatever is left of the control we have over our food production policy, and corporate agribusiness would be able to move in and completely take over our food production. Now, these bad ideas form the basis for what I believe, I've been looking at this quite a lot, is a planned and organized assault on our future, and not one in a thousand Canadians even knows anything about it. And if you say, oh, you believe in a conspiracy theory, all I can tell you is the story of the two cows on a hill, and one of them's reading a pamphlet and the other says, oh, you and your conspiracy theories. But the pamphlet says where beef really comes from. I tell you, it is a very concerted and planned and financed push to take advantage of this constellation of realities at this particular political moment to push this ahead. And of course, could they have a bigger gift than the scandal, the sponsorship scandal? It gets everybody's mind off what we should be talking about. It's a right-winger's dream. I mean, what better set of issues can you go into an election for if you're a conservative or an alliance or reform or whatever, than something that bashes Quebec and bashes the misuse of taxpayers' money and so on? It's a dream. It's a right-wing gift, and it gets everybody thinking about that and not thinking about what we need to be thinking about as we approach this election. Well, we have better ideas, and we need to put our better ideas out, and we're going to have to make this an election issue, or perhaps even, if we can do it, the election issue. We have a very different vision for Canada in an interdependent world, as a non-allied 21st century nation, embracing cultural diversity, fair trade, social justice, the protection of the commons, and collective security based on international cooperation and sharing. We would recommit to a policy of multilateralism and to working with all nations for the common good. We would retool for peace, and we would reconnect and recommit our international goals of our armed forces to peacekeeping and to a totally different form of security, one based on social justice. Our model would stress peace, disarmament, and the protection of human security based on the notion of equality and social justice, and we would seek alternative military models to bring about global stability. And we would put a moratorium on environmentally damaging resource extraction while we develop energy alternative policies based on conservation and the transition to cleaner fuels. And we would never allow the commercial exploitation of our precious water. If it has to be shared, it's shared the way we share in times of famine, not by making money on it and selling it to those who can buy it and leaving those who cannot to die. And we would commit to stringent environmental health and safety regulations and exempt many, many areas of life, including water and health, education and culture, from all existing and future trade agreements. Now, it is urgent that we put these big bad ideas out there on the pre-election table, and we're doing this. We're launching this cross-country tour / Red Book report / campaign to get Canadians talking together the way we did around the MAI, which we won, I want us to remember, and the way we have around other issues. And I really know how hard it is here in British Columbia when you are fighting an awful right-wing government that makes Van der Zand look good. And this is really distressing. It must be really distressing to get up every morning wishing you had Van der Zand back. No, I know you don't wish you had been in that. I'm here to urge, and I know Murray's been going across the country doing the same thing, is that we must not lose sight of what's happening at the national level, because what is happening there will make the fight that you've got here on the ground in British Columbia much, much, much harder. We have to shine the light of day on these bad ideas. We are building a national network, which I'm hoping is going to be the correlation of this time to the Action Canada Network. It's going to be called Our Canada, and it is going to be launched probably within a week to 2 weeks. We're just looking at dates now, and it involves a really wide range of labor, women, faith-based, environment, I'm going to miss a whole bunch, development, culture, and so on, groups from all national, coming together to say that we may have other differences, but we come together as one solid movement to say no to this agenda and to put it on the election table. Political and economic assimilation with the United States is the wrong future for Canada, but it is exactly where we are going. It is exactly where we are going if we don't stop it, and it will be something that slipped by us, not with one great big free trade agreement that we get to fight about and win or lose, but rather all of these different initiatives that are quietly going on now. In order to survive as a separate nation state on the northern half of the North American continent, our ancestors chose the notion or the narrative of sharing for survival, which is being replaced as we speak by the narrative of survival of the fittest. And if there was ever a time in the world that any country or any society had to hold on to whatever it has left of that narrative of sharing for survival, this is it. And this is not just for ourselves. And I want to be very, very clear, this is not narrow Canadian nationalism. We've come a long journey from that place. We cannot maintain Medicare or control over our water or control over or public education or any of this if the rest of the world goes the other way. You cannot be an island of public service in a sea where everything else is privatized. We're not just doing this for ourselves or by ourselves. In fact, our organizations have been on the front line of fighting with peoples around the world to preserve their rights for the very same fundamental issues. And while we're fighting for this in Canada, we're fighting against the World Trade Organization, and we were dramatically successful in Cancun. And just because you didn't read about it in the Province or the Sun doesn't mean that we didn't change history in Cancun. So of course we are utterly opposed to terrorism, but we know that it is not possible to defeat terrorism and violence until we address the growing crisis of global injustice. And we know that there is no way to address the growing crisis of global injustice until we look to the underpinnings and the ideology that creates it. And that's the ideology of corporate globalization, the Washington Consensus. It's failing. It's on its knees, which is why the corporate community in this country is working so diligently to plug us into what's left of it before it collapses. We have to be here to say no to this. We have a better idea to their big idea, which is a bad idea. And let us stand up and find our roots and find ourselves and find this voice again, because whatever we can build here will reverberate, I promise you, back in your communities and back in the fight you have against the Campbell government here. Thank you, and I look forward to the discussion with you.
Hi, Barlow.